This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect our office's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in these three fields, all in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on the current trends and issues facing the Garden State. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dean Barada from the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. And today I am with Ava Majlessi, who is the acting director for the Institute of Violence Prevention and Community Safety at Rutgers University. So, Ava, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I wanted you to, if you could, start off by telling us a little bit about the Institute and the Center for Critical Intelligence Studies, which sort of falls under it.
Absolutely. So the Center for Critical Intelligence Studies, and I'll refer to it as CCIS, it's one of three centers under the umbrella of a new institute at Rutgers. It's the Institute for Violence Prevention and Community Safety. There are two other centers that fall under the umbrella of this institute, including the Miller Center for Community Protection and Resilience and the Center on Policing, formerly known as the Police Institute. The three centers have separate but complementary mission spaces. They all share a goal of enhancing the safety and welfare of society. So specifically, the goal of CCIS is really to expand educational and career opportunities for Rutgers students and ultimately practitioners who have an interest in the fields of intelligence and national security. And there are two main ways that we're really going about doing this. We develop our own educational programs with our in-house expertise at Rutgers, and we also leverage ties with and collaborate with federal agencies and also state agencies like OHSP. We bring in guest lecturers to our courses, so we've had a number of your colleagues participate in our classes, which has been fantastic exposure for the students. And, you know, we also work with our federal partners to develop practical initiatives. So, for example, we have a number of experts at Rutgers who are working with the FBI to develop a framework to prevent mass casualty attacks.
So can you talk a little bit about your role specifically there? I've worked with you before, so I kind of know what you do. But for those people who are listening in, what's your role or roles?
So as you mentioned, I currently serve as the acting director for this umbrella organization, the Institute for Violence Prevention and Community Safety. But I also serve as the program advisor for CCIS, and I teach courses in our programs as well. So I work very closely with the students who are considering taking a minor in critical intelligence studies at the university, or students who have an interest in our certificate programs, things of that nature.
How long have you been doing those programs, either the certificate or the minor in intelligence studies?
So Rutgers became an intelligence community center for academic excellence in January 2015. So that was through a grant award from the Defense Intelligence Agency. And because of the success that we've had with that program, we decided to build on those existing strengths and create a center that was dedicated specifically to intelligence studies. So that's really how CCIS came to be.
And are you all thinking about expanding that and having maybe bachelor's degree programs or graduate programs in intelligence?
You know, we have discussed potentially creating graduate level programs. I think right now we're really focusing on building our program at the undergraduate level. That said, our certificate program is offered to both undergraduate and graduate students across the university. So Newark, New Brunswick, Camden.
Just out of curiosity, as I was halfway through asking that question, it occurred to me, do you even see value in having, let's say, a bachelor's program or a graduate program in intelligence studies? Or do you think it's better for students to maybe focus on something like area studies, language, economics, some other field, and have a orientation towards intelligence studies?
So there's a specific reason that we created a minor, an 18-credit minor, as opposed to, let's say, a major in critical intelligence studies. The minor is really intended to supplement students' primary areas of study with additional skills and competencies that they might need for a potential career within the intelligence community. We've got so much diversity with respect to academic disciplines that we offer at the university. We have students who are majoring in computer science, engineering, Middle Eastern studies, Russian language and literature, mathematics, psychology, geography, and that's just to name a few. And they're pairing those majors with a minor in critical intelligence studies or one of our certificate programs, sort of for that very reason that you outlined, that it's of greater benefit to the intelligence community to have students who are an expert in a particular field who also happen to have some background and information relevant to the intelligence community.
Yeah, I think that does make sense. That's excellent. So full disclosure, the idea of asking Ava here was in part because we worked with her as part of this Intelligence Community Center of Academic Excellence. So I'm going to ask you to tell everyone a little bit about what that is and what that looks like, and then we can maybe have some more stories about our experiences over the past year.
Sure. So as I mentioned, Rutgers became an ICCAE in January 2015. And because of the success of that program, we decided to create a dedicated center that focused on intelligence issues, which is CCIS. But the goal of ICCAE is really to enhance the recruitment of a diverse intelligence community workforce that has the capabilities that are critical to the national security interests of the United States. So just to give you a couple of highlights of our program, we have that new minor in critical intelligence studies in collaboration with the School of Arts and Sciences Political Science Department. We offer an undergraduate and graduate certificate program in intelligence and national security, which takes place over 1 week in the summer. And we do host a number of conferences throughout the year on sort of the most pressing issues in the field. So, for instance, back in September, we co-hosted a moderated discussion on the impact of social media on crime, terrorism, and national security. We had a number of experts there, including privacy and civil liberties experts, because of the concern that arises in the context of social media monitoring. So we do offer a number of programs for our students who are interested in the field.
So now you had mentioned that one of the goals of this was to increase diversity within the intelligence field. Can you talk about how serious of an issue, if it is an issue, do you see that right now?
So I know that it's something that's of specific interest for the ICCAE program. And I think what they're looking for is diversity in a number of different respects. So Rutgers sort of helps fulfill that mission, I think, in a number of ways. We've got cultural diversity, we've got economic diversity, diversity of experience within our student body. But as I also mentioned, we have that diversity of academic disciplines that I think are of interest to the intelligence community.
And I know just from my personal experience here, when we recruit our analysts, we've had to really look at our recruitment process in order to encourage more diversity of applicants. I guess I was initially surprised 3 years ago when we reorganized at how undiverse, if that's a word, our application pool was. It seemed like we were getting people whose resumes looked almost identical and who may in fact have looked almost identical when they came in for interviews and seemed to come from like very, very similar backgrounds. And so we've really sort of worked hard, as I know you all have, to sort of broaden that base of who's coming into the field.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
So the students in your program, can you talk a little bit about, you said you're trying to get a more diverse student body and wider range of fields of study. How's that working out?
I don't want to brag, but I'm going to anyway. Our students are fantastic. They're top notch. They are definitely interested in learning sort of the nuts and bolts of intelligence work, but they don't shy away from taking on complicated, messy policy issues. And I can give you an example of that. So the intelligence community, as we know it today, 17 different agencies. It didn't always look like that. The intelligence community that we know today didn't really begin to take shape until the end of World War II. And with good reason, there's always been sort of this tension between American ideals of openness and transparency and the need for secrecy in intelligence gathering and covert operations. And one of the themes throughout some of our courses is, can we reconcile this conflict? Are the practices of our intelligence community consistent with our vision of American government as open and accountable? And we spend a lot of time reflecting on these types of issues and encouraging our students to think about those difficult questions, the questions that don't have easy answers. and they're up for that task. They are constantly surprising me in a very good way. We do a lot of debate and discussion in our courses, and you should really hear them debate some of those messy issues. They get really into it, and oftentimes I'm wishing I had a gavel so that I could demand order in the classroom. But they care deeply about the issues, and I think that they are ready and willing to participate fully in government.
Speaking of that, this past summer you hosted a week-long seminar for a select number of Rutgers students. Can you talk a little bit about that and what was involved?
Absolutely. So we had 28 Rutgers students from across the university, undergraduate and graduate students, and they had the opportunity to participate in a four-day program to learn the basics of intelligence analysis and national security. NJOHSP was our partner in this program, which we really appreciated. Students participated in various lectures. We had guest lecturers from the FBI, DHS, ODNI, obviously NJOHSP, from The Rock, among others. And we focused on various topics. So they ranged from the current threat environment and how it has evolved since 9/11. We covered cyber threats and cybersecurity. We talked about violent extremism, among other things. They did a module on writing and briefing for the intelligence community. Extremely important skills to have, not only if you're thinking about a career in intelligence, but I think in any field. And I think that one of the highlights of the program was actually the scenario-based simulation exercise that the students had an opportunity to participate in under the guidance of OHSP and your team of intelligence analysts. That aspect of the program was invaluable for them.
It was a lot of fun for us. And I'm going to get on my soapbox real quick, too. You know, oftentimes I'm at conferences or I'm just at meetings and I hear a lot of people complaining and grumbling about either millennials or post-millennials and they're all lazy and they don't want to work. I had a completely different experience. I generally have a completely different experience. The students here, we gave them essentially the same exercise that I put my trained full-time analytical staff through. And the students really sort of just ate it up. They did quite well. And I told them, and I meant this, with a little bit of training and a little bit of polish, they'd be ready to go as entry-level analysts, which was really nice to see. They didn't shy away from playing around with ambiguous data or being in an unfamiliar situation. They just ate it up. So it was really great to see that dedication and that drive. Especially, I think it was already like 4 days into it. So I imagine they were all pretty tired at that time, too.
Well, thanks for that feedback. I think they'll appreciate sort of having your stamp of approval.
It was a great training to see. And so certainly I would recommend if anyone is thinking about going to Rutgers or maybe in Rutgers and looking at the field, definitely try to get into that program. So speaking of that, now that I've told everyone to try to get in the program, is the program going to continue?
We are going to continue the program. Plans are in place for the week of June 18th. We're thinking about slightly tweaking a few things. We might add a new module on structured analytic techniques. And at some point, I really would love to consider expanding and opening up the opportunity to more students. But we'll have to see what the future holds there. I should also mention, while this particular program is open to Rutgers students at the undergraduate or graduate level, we are planning to develop certificate programs for those outside of the university community. So for Intel analysts or professionals who are already in the field so that they can continue to learn and hone their skills. So more to come on that.
So as an instructor in the field of intelligence, I'm going to ask you a two-part question here. What's one thing you would like the public to know about the field? And what would be either something you'd like prospective students to know about the field, or what would your pitch be for them to consider a field? Maybe a lot of the college-age students I meet barely know that intelligence is a profession or a field, or they have something else in mind. What would your pitch be to go, no, take another look at this profession?
So I think my pitch for students would be, we offer a really unique program, I think. We teach from a textbook in our course, as so many other courses around the university do, but we supplement sort of the theory and the text that, you know, traditional textbook learning with exposure to actual professionals in the field. So people who are doing this work day in and day out. And that's a unique opportunity for students because maybe they've heard about the intelligence community, right? Intel, it's a topic that's in the headlines every single day. But I think having a sense of what it takes day to day and the type of work that you're doing day to day, that's not something you can learn in a textbook. And so we really make an effort to bring guest speakers in to share their knowledge and share their experiences. So we're bringing folks in from federal agencies. We've had the FBI. We've had folks from the CIA, NCTC, for instance. We bring in people at the state level, so from your office. We've had folks from The Rock also. But we're also bringing in civil liberties experts also. We want students, I think, to have a sense of understanding of that delicate balance that exists in this field between this need for security and this need for intelligence and balancing that with, you know, American ideals around privacy and civil liberties and accountability.
How can prospective students find out more about the program at Rutgers?
So anyone who has an interest in our programs, whether you are a current Rutgers student, whether you're thinking about coming to Rutgers, or if you're a professional out there in the field who has an interest in the work that we're doing, feel free to contact me. I would say the best way is email, and I'll spell that out phonetically. So it's avamadge@rutgers.edu. So that's Alpha Victor Alpha Mike Alpha Juliet at rutgers.edu.
And then what we ask just about everyone on the podcast, if you had to recommend a book, podcast, movie, television show, any form of sort of media that you may think is relevant or interesting or worth somebody's time in your field, do you have any suggestions?
So this might be boring, but I would recommend that students consider reading The Economist. Tons of valuable information in there. I think it's really important to sort of know what's happening all around the world. It's pretty dense, so, you know, students may not get through the entire magazine each week, but even just sort of picking out articles that pique your interest, I think, is a good idea. It keeps you well informed about what's happening around the world, which is pretty critical. For fun, I would say watch The Americans. But that's for fun.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Well, Ava, thank you very much for joining us. And thank you all for listening in today.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.